Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to take quite a few pieces of scripture tonight. We're going to be studying the subject of the Sabbath day. There seems to be quite a bit of confusion, misunderstanding and misinterpretation of what the Sabbath day was all about, what the Sabbath day law was given for. That's evidenced in the fact that when Jesus came and ministered to people on the Sabbath day, that the Jews sought to kill him for it because they held that he broke the Sabbath day law. Well, if they held that he broke the Sabbath day law and he said, basically, God is working today and so am I, making himself equal with God, and they sought even the more to kill him because not only had he broken the Sabbath but said he was God, that there's obviously within the religious approach to the Sabbath day laws a misunderstanding of exactly what it is. Even within Christianity, there's a misunderstanding as to exactly what the Sabbath day is, what the Sabbath day laws are all about. We have churches today that are Sabbath day churches. We have Seventh-day Baptists and Seventh-day Adventists, and they hold to the seventh day or Sabbath day laws that they are to be upheld no matter what. Well, we've got some problems. After a study like this of the Sabbath day, a person either comes away with one of three different frames of mind. Either it clears it up for you real quick, you can really understand the whole picture about the Sabbath day, and you're at ease about what the Sabbath day is all about and what the Bible teaches, or you are a staunch legalist, which just throws your mind into a tizzy, mm-hmm. and you'll never want to come back. Mm-hmm. Or it'll make it more confusing, because you thought you knew what it was, and then you're introduced to some scriptures, and then you got to rethink things. Of course, there's a fourth one, but we don't want to mention that. It has to do with unbelief, but we don't want to take that into consideration. So we're going to go through some scriptures, and as we're going through and as I point out some things, it's going to cause you to have some questions. I'm going to ask you to wait until I go through all the scriptures, because hopefully it'll answer the questions as we go through. Especially when we get into the New Testament, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, in what is one of the most difficult texts in the Bible. Now, there's a lot of things mentioned in it that are very difficult, and we're going to be focusing on one aspect of that section, and yet we're going to try to clarify the whole section all at one time. So we have a difficult task ahead of us tonight, and so if you could just kind of go through it with me, and if you have to write some things down that I emphasize and go through, and in the end, if you want to ask some questions, fine. Of course, if you disagree and want to leave at any time, that's your... Genesis chapter 2 reads, "And the heavens and the earth and all of the host of them were finished." The Hebrew word for finished means to bring to a completion. He didn't stop his creative works to start them up again. He completed them, not to go back doing them again. They were completely finished. End of work. "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested." Hebrew word is shavath, where we get our word Sabbath from. Shavath in Hebrew means to cut off, to end. He rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." Interesting word. We'll see that throughout tonight. Kadash is the Hebrew word where we get our English word from the New Testament from, sanctification. It means to be set apart. A Christian is said to be sanctified. That when Christ comes into our hearts, the Christian is set apart for the Lord. It is also the root word for the word saint in the New Testament. All Christians are called saints. They are people who have been set apart for the Lord's purposes when the Lord comes into their hearts. So he blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it, that is, he set it apart, because in it he rested, again the word shavath, he sabbathed, from all of his work which God created to make. Two things I want to point out before we take two other pieces of scripture on the Sabbath day. First of all, this text says that God ended his creative work. It doesn't say that God stopped working. That was the problem that they had with Jesus. Jesus said, today's the Sabbath day. God is working. I mean, he hasn't stopped functioning. God doesn't take the day off. He ended his creative work, so he set that day apart to be set apart to remember God's finished work, that Israel should stop and remember the Lord. So Jesus said, God's working and I'm working today. What's the problem? They misunderstood what the Sabbath day was all about. So please take note that God finished and rested from his creative works. Secondly, this is one of the most important things about the Sabbath day that we can understand about the Bible. It is the only day, and we'll see why in a minute, it is the only day in the succession of days from 1 through 7 where it does not say, and it was evening and it was morning, day 7. It does not say, and this is not for debate because I'll show in a minute why it's that way. It does not say the seventh day ended. Keep that in mind. Let's go over to Exodus chapter 20. I'm not trying to make this dry or draw this out tonight, but this is a tremendous thing to see. It is of much confusion and debate. Within the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20 at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's your sanctification. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle. Can you imagine that? No cattle working on. Nor the stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, that is, set it apart. Interesting. The word rested in your text is a completely different Hebrew word than over in Genesis chapter 2. Not even used in Genesis chapter 2. This word means to feel the pleasure of being at home. In other words, God rested, that is, after his creative works, he created all of the physical material universe in which we know. He created man and had fellowship with man, and God was pleased. It was good. He was at home. Family, great way to look at it. Okay, now go over to Exodus chapter 31, the last text concerning the law in reference to the Sabbath day. Exodus chapter 31, beginning at verse 12. This is a good one. Here's where the Jews missed it in their understanding of the Sabbath day. Not that they were not to observe the Sabbath day, but they missed the whole point. This is at the end of the giving of the law, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign. Notice what it is. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Not the Sabbath, but you. Okay? The Sabbath day is a type to signify and be a sign to the people that as they observe it, this is what God was going to do to them as people. Mm. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Now listen to this. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Do you see why the religious leaders in Jesus' day justified themselves before the people to try to put Jesus to death? He had broken the Sabbath day, and they were using the law to put him to death because he had broken the Sabbath day law in as far as their interpretation of it. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from amongst his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual or continual what? Covenant. It is a sign of a covenant that God would sanctify his people because he sanctified the seventh day. Notice verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. The word refresh means to have a fan blowing in someone's face, to refresh them. It's the root word from where we get the word soul, nefesh, in the Hebrew Old Testament. It comes from the word to breathe, for refreshment. He rested and was refreshed on the seventh day. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. Something to pull out of this. God gave the law to observe the Sabbath day because it was a sign of the covenant that God had made with his people that he would sanctify them. Okay? Now, let's go to the good text. Not that these have not been good. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 is so good that whenever I study this, I can hardly sit down. And I don't get... Well, can I? No, you don't want me to do that. I get carried away on it. Hebrews chapter 3. The book of Hebrews was written to Hebrews, that is Jews, who had accepted the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. But because of the persecution against the Christians, they were thinking of going back into the safe haven of Judaism and the law and abandoning this whole thing. Now, there's a reason for this. Later on in Hebrews, it talks about the persecutions to the point that they were even having their physical possessions removed from their property and from their homes, and they were being disowned by their own people. And you know what they said? They said to themselves, this is from a Jewish standpoint. Remember, we just read the law? They said to themselves, we are not at rest, Shavath, with God. So they were going to go back into old Judaism and abandon Christ as the Messiah. Okay? So we have to understand this text that chapter 3 is dealing with a warning to Jews who are thinking of defecting from Jesus Christ as being the Messiah and going back into Judaism. So far, the writer of Hebrews has said Christ is better than the prophets. Christ is better than angels. In the first part of chapter 3, the first 6 verses, the writer of Hebrews says, Christ is worthy of more glory than Moses. Moses was a faithful servant in God's household, but Jesus was faithful over the household of God in that he was its architect, its designer, and in fact, he created the household of God. And he attributes that work to be of God, of who Jesus is in this text. Now, verse 7. We're going to go from chapter 3, verse 7, through chapter 4, verse 13. I want to point out 2 things. I'm going to point them out ahead of time because when we read them, you're going to have questions about it, but you'll know about it when we get there. The key word Throw things at me after. The key word, notice this, this is one of the keys to understanding this teaching, is the first word in quotations of verse 7. Today. He's quoting Psalm 95. Today, if you should hear His voice. Notice verse 13. But encourage one another daily while it is called today. And in your Bibles, it should be in quotation marks, right? In Greek, it is literally the today of the Bible. It's not just today in general, but it is the today for the Jews that the Bible is talking about. Notice verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Notice chapter 4, verse 7. Again, it designates a certain day, saying in David, today. Notice it's in quotation marks. After such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. He's repeating it constantly. Today. And He's repeating it from Psalm 95. Now here's the three eras in which he is taking it from. He's referring, first of all, to the Jews traveling in the wilderness who did not enter into their rest. They did not enter into the promised land. Okay? 350 years later, David wrote Psalm 95 and said, today, if you will hear his voice, just like they did in the world, don't do like they did in the wilderness. Now, 350 years later, he's saying, today. Just like it was today for them. And now the writer of Hebrews is quoting David, and he is saying 1,500 years after David wrote Psalm 95, it is still today. It's been today ever since the Sabbath. See? And as long as it's today, it is the day, enter into it. Okay? That's the key word. The key teaching is enter into His rest. It's found all the way through this whole section. That's what this whole section is all about. Thirdly, there are some hard verses to understand. Look at verse 12 of chapter 3. Beware, brethren, lest there be amongst any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, is he talking about Christians losing their salvation? He's talking about Jews who have been enlightened about who Christ is. They've been partakers of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and they're thinking of going back and defecting. Not falling away from. In fact, in the Greek text here, it says, the act of apostasy in departing from the living God. But encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if, and the word if here, there's two different ifs. We've mentioned them before. This one means if possible you have, not since you have. We are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginnings. The word hold does not mean to keep holding on to, like you lose your salvation. It means a one-time act. If you have taken a hold of Christ as a Jew, as your Messiah, and that is the beginning of your relationship with Christ. If you have done that, then you have become a partaker of Christ. If you have not done that, then this is a warning for you. This is to the Jew who's thinking of defecting. He's saying, you better take note. Have you ever received Christ as your Messiah? If so, you better watch what you're doing. Secondly, if you've never taken Christ as your Messiah and you're thinking of defecting, you better not harden your heart. When the Lord's voice speaks to you, you better respond. Look at chapter 4, verse 1, another difficult text. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, there's our phrase, entering His rest, it is still left. Let us fear lest any of you should seem to have come short of it. Now, is that a Christian? No, that is somebody who has not entered in to the rest or Sabbath of the Lord. Who is a person who has entered in? Verse 3. For we who have believed, we are entering the rest as He has said, that I took an oath in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Believers have entered into the rest, the Sabbath of the Lord. So there's your definition. Who's he talking to? He's warning anybody in the whole group who has not entered in. They've fallen short of really entering into Christ. They've partaken of the group. They've heard the gospel, just like they did in old times. They've heard about Christ as the Messiah, but they're thinking of leaving the whole thing and going back into Judaism. He says, take note. If you have not entered in, you had better not go back. You see, you go to chapter 6, the text that everybody has problems with, about those, it's impossible for those who have been enlightened and partaken of the Holy Spirit to renew them again. These are Jews who said, I'm going back into old Judaism and I'm rejecting Christ and the Messiah and the whole thing, and all that goes with it. I'm going back into old Judaism. You cannot renew them again. That's not a Christian. That's not somebody who's received Christ and seemingly has fallen away from the Lord. That's not what that's talking about. These are non-believing Jews who have not entered in. Everybody who has believed has entered in. Now, I should point out, as I read to you literally in the text from verse 3, we who have believed, past tense, we are entering. It is a continuous process. We have entered into the rest, but the rest is not over yet. There are two phases to the rest or Sabbath of the Lord. The other one comes up later on. The Sabbath day rest is completed when we enter in with the Lord in heaven. We have entered in by receiving Christ. We have entered into His rest. When we go to be with the Lord, that will finalize and consummate the Sabbath, the today. Okay? Reading from chapter 3, verse 7. Everybody's looking at me like, is this guy nuts? Chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, quoting from Psalm 95, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The word rebellion or provoking is literally the word bitterness. It says that the children of Israel became bitter at God and they hardened their hearts. You don't think we do that too. We become bitter at God for what we have to go through. He led us out in the wilderness and all He's given us is Himself and this manna. That's it. He's brought us out here to die. And we become bitter. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, and literally it means that they tempted God. They proved me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I took an oath in my wrath that they should not enter my rest. He's talking about His rest, His Sabbath rest. Same word used in Genesis chapter 2. Beware, brethren, lest there be amongst you an evil heart of unbelief in departing, the actual apostasy, the act of apostasy from the living God. But encourage one another. It's the word exhort or encourage is the Greek word paraclete, where we get our word comforter from. Come alongside of one another and encourage each other to enter into the rest. Receive Christ as the Messiah and enter in. Don't depart. And do it while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And the word sin has a definite article in it. It is the sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginnings of the confidence steadfast or established unto the end. We have become partakers of Christ if we have, and possibly you haven't. If we have at one time taken a hold of Christ, received Christ as the Messiah, then he says the deceitfulness of the sin is the hardening of the heart. And it's a deceitful thing. We can become bitter against God. And you see, we don't murder anybody, and we don't hit anybody, and we don't commit any of the great, terrible sins of murder and all these things. So we think that we're okay. We haven't really committed sin. But it's when we become bitter and we turn our hearts to the hardening of the hearts, he calls it the sin. The sin that is deceitful enough to turn a person's heart away from Christ. Verse 16, for who, after they heard, rebelled? Was it not all who came? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry with for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he take an oath that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have come short of it. The word seem literally means to think. It doesn't mean by appearance. It means that if you think that you have come short of entering into the rest, like the children of Israel failed to enter into Canaan in type and example, and you have failed to enter into Christ the same way, if you have fallen short of that, and the promise still remains today, just like it remained back in those days, it hasn't changed, then take heed to yourself. This is a warning to you to enter into it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. I think that's interesting. We think the gospel is only preached in the day of Christ, but the gospel was preached to those in the wilderness as well. But the word which they heard did not benefit them, it not being mixed by faith to those who heard it. They did not respond to faith. They heard it, they became bitter about it, and the word of God profited them nothing. For we who have believed, we are entering that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my anger, they shall not enter my rest. So he says, God says, the promise is given. It is a promise. Everybody who receives Christ enters into the rest, the Sabbath of God. So God had to take an oath. God took an oath that if a person doesn't receive Christ, they will not enter into his rest. That is an oath that God takes. Now listen to this. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. What works? Look at verse 4. For he has spoken in a certain place concerning the seventh day. Look at this. One of my favorite texts. And God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. He's relating the seventh day to the day. The works that have been completed and prepared for God's people since the foundation of the world. Now look at this. And again in another place, they shall not enter into my rest. Since therefore there remains that some must enter in, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter in because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, Psalm 95, today, after such a long time, how long has it been? 350 years. David still says it's today. As it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. If that's really what God meant by entering into Canaan, that that would be the rest of God, the Sabbath of God, then David would not have mentioned 350 years later of another day, that it is continuing. It didn't happen back then. There remains therefore a rest. This is the first time that Sabbath is used. Therefore, there remains a Sabbath. That is the today. Therefore, there remains a Sabbath for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God also did from his. Uh-oh. When did God cease from his works? On the seventh day. The one who has entered into his rest, has received Christ and has entered into the Sabbath rest of God, he has ceased from his works as God did from his. Now, there's two interpretations of this text, and both are probably accurate if you can fit them in, but there's probably only one that is accurate as far as this text is concerned. The one that says, for he who, I don't know what your English texts were saying on this part. For he who, all this time, the writer of Hebrews has been using certain pronouns. In referring to the children of Israel in the wilderness, it's they and them. To the Jews who were alive in his day as he was writing Hebrews, it's us and we. Now he says he who. Not them, not us, but the one who. Who is it referring to? Just by the language and the fact that if we're comparing our works, if we say that's us, and that our works are finished when we enter into Christ, meaning our works are sinful, and comparing them to God's works, which are good, then it doesn't fit. Because God's good works and our sinful works cannot be paralleled, see. So there's a language argument as well as an interpretation argument here that the person that he's speaking of is Christ. That the Lord has entered in to his rest, and we have entered into Christ's finished works. See? That Christ on the cross, when he says it is finished, he created all things spiritually for man and finished the spiritual works of God, just like God did the material creation after 6 days. This fits in the fact that in verse 3, chapter 1, he says, consider Jesus. And the fact down in verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, who has entered into heaven but Christ. So the Sabbath day rest is culminated and fulfilled when one enters into heaven, and Christ has done that. He has finished the works here on earth, and man enters into God's rest when they receive Christ because of Christ's finished works. That probably would fit in better as the interpretation as to who the he who is in the text. But Revelation chapter 14 verse 13 says that the Holy Spirit, in speaking of those who have died in the Lord, that when they come up to heaven, that they shall find rest from their labors and their works shall follow with them. It is interesting, when he uses the word rest, it's one of the words used in the Greek translation of Genesis chapter 2 about creation. That God's people, when they enter into heaven, they will enter into rest from all of their labors in the Lord here on the earth. And when they enter into heaven, all the labor and work that they've done in the Lord will follow them and accompany them into heaven. And they will finally enter into the final phase of the Sabbath day rest. So basically, both truths are true. When Christ came, he did God's completed, finished work on the cross. Man does not have to earn his salvation. Christ did it on the cross. It is finished, completed. And when Jesus entered into heaven, he passed through the heavens. He was ascended to the right hand of the Father. Is that all the works are finished. When we receive Christ spiritually, our struggle with God is over and we're at peace with God. And it is true that as we receive Christ, we enter into his Sabbath rest. We enter into rest with God. Now, what is this text saying? Why even bring all this up? I'm sure you're wondering. Why even bring all this stuff up? This text is saying to the Jews, which they knew very well. In Genesis chapter 2, the reason why it didn't say, and it was evening and it was morning, the seventh day, is because the Sabbath day still is today. It never ended. God finished his works and he rested, he completed it, and he sanctified the Sabbath day and says, this is what I'm going to do to you. It is a sign, a covenant of what I'm going to do for you personally when I enter into your heart. You'll enter into my rest just like I did when I finished my creative works, because you'll enter into my creative works spiritually when you receive me, and you'll be at rest with God. Okay? The writer of Hebrews is saying the Sabbath day is still today. The seventh day is still today, and it hasn't ended, and it still hasn't ended yet. Now, one more text. Colossians. This is a good one. Colossians chapter 2. A good text in answer to summarizing this whole thing. In answer to the legalistic approach of keeping the law and earning one's salvation, verse 11, Paul says, "In him you were circumcised with the circumcision not without hands, but by putting of the body of the sins of the flesh, but by the circumcision of Christ." So it's a spiritual circumcision. Verse 14, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Now, verses 16 and 17, here's the key. "Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink or in festival days or a new moon," or what's the next word? "Or the keeping of the Sabbaths." Let no one judge you. Why? Look at the next verse. "These things are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is Christ." You see? That's it right there. When God gave the Sabbath day law, it was a shadow of Christ. Its fulfillment was to be found in Jesus Christ. And he set it apart and signified it and made them keep the law so that they would understand that when he came into their hearts, what it meant to be at rest and to cease from their works and to enter into the finished works of Christ. That they would understand what sanctification was, because they've been celebrating it and going through it legalistically all this time, and it was only a shadow. That's why if people keep the Sabbath day today and they don't know Christ, it isn't going to do them any good. It's still the law. You see? It might keep them from being put to death in the legalistic system. Now, in Romans chapter 14, Paul says, now in the contrast between the weak Christian and the mature Christian, he says the weak Christian will judge the mature Christian because the mature Christian has freedom. And the mature Christian is going to look at the weak Christian and he's going to think, "You're silly." He will despise him. He won't judge him. He'll just think, "Well, what a silly person that, you know, keeping that is." Now, one of the things that he uses as an example is the Lord's Day, the Sabbaths. He says, if somebody esteems one day above another, that's the weak Christian who's still coming out of his legalistic frame of mind, and they put one day above another. Fine. You set Sunday apart or Saturday apart, and that's the Lord's Day, and that's the day you seek the Lord. Fine. But the mature believer, according to that chapter, is the one who regards every day as the same. Every day is set apart just like Saturday or Sunday is. Every day belongs to the Lord, no matter what you do. It is the Lord's day. And whatever I do, if I get up and go to work, I work because I'm in the Lord. It's the Lord's work. And if I come to church, on Sunday, that's the Lord's work. That's the Lord's day. That's the day that I serve and remember the Lord. If I go out and mow a lawn on Monday, that's the Lord's day. That's the Lord's work. And I do it in service to Christ. Every day is the Lord's day. Why? Because I've entered into his rest. And every day is a Sabbath day for a Christian. Because we're at rest now. We're at peace. The refreshment. You know, we're at home. Take all those Hebrew words and all those Greek words. We're at home. We're at rest. We're refreshed. We got the cool breeze blowing on our face. You know, we're at home with the Lord. Every day. And one day, we're going to be released from this body and we're going to enter into the final phase and the Lord's going to say, "The Sabbath is over. Come on in." And the Sabbath day will be finished and eternity will start. And we will forever be with the Lord. But you see why the Jews missed it? They didn't catch it, that it's a sign. That's why Jesus said, look, you're out to kill me. You don't understand. God gave the Sabbath. He created it for you, not you for the Sabbath. God gave you that day. Set it apart for you that you could enter into His rest. And you didn't get it. You missed the whole point. You're out to kill people on the Sabbath day. You know? That if they break the law, you're out to kill them. But you don't understand. God still works. I can remember being with a family I stayed over because I was to preach in this man's church on a Sunday night. And they were from the old school. And I don't say that in a derogatory way at all. But I mean, they did not cook on Sunday. They cooked all their meals on Saturday. They did not work on Sunday. Boy, I had to be careful. I followed them. I did everything they did because I did not want to cross the line on Sunday. And my turn was Sunday night, and I went to church with them on Sunday, and I had to be around the house during the day. And I sat there and just kind of did what everybody else did because I didn't know where the line was drawn about this Sabbath day keeping that these Christians were keeping. And so we had a little discussion, and in fact, that was their big deal. The man sat down with me that afternoon, and the first thing he wanted to talk about was whether I kept the Sabbath or not. And I said, you know, Jesus said the same thing. He said, you know, you're against me for working on the Sabbath. Don't the Levites work on the Sabbath day? Don't they have to work in the temple on the Sabbath day? That's work. So I said to this elderly gentleman, who had walked with the Lord for a long time, I says, I saw you up there preaching your heart out this morning. I says, if that wasn't work, I don't know what was. But it was the Lord's work. It was still work. And God works on the Sabbath, and people work on the Sabbath. Yes, we're told to stop our labors and remember the Lord. But God doesn't stop working on the Sabbath day. There's a spiritual significance about the teaching of the Sabbath day, both legalistically and its fulfillment in Christ. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He is our Sabbath day. A person receives Christ, they enter into the Sabbath of God, the promise of entering into His rest. If you understand all of this from Hebrews as a Jewish standpoint and from Genesis and Exodus from the Jewish standpoint, you understand why they messed up and why Christians today get all legalistic about this and get all messed up about the Sabbath day and miss the whole point of God's grace and mercy that He has extended to people. Well, I tell you, the people that get so legalistically wound up and chase other Christians around, they are not at rest. You know, and the people aren't going to enter into rest by keeping the Sabbath day legalistically. So anyway, that's it in a nutshell. But the whole gamut of things, there's so much freedom there, so much of a blessing to receive what the Lord has to do with the Sabbath day and understand exactly what the whole thing was all about. The law was to bring us to Christ. The Sabbath day law is no exception. We enter into His rest and His Sabbath when we receive Christ. And every day belongs to the Lord. It's not just one day, it's every day. Every day is the Sabbath, the rest of God.